When we consider the gifts that we receive from our Heavenly Father, I witnessed with you one of my gifts, because there was a time that I would not have been able to imagine my wife playing for my daughter and her husband in a church in Independence, he being a priesthood member, and her the mother of two beautiful grandchildren for me and for Jackie. It would have been a hard stretch for me to accept that or to understand it. I would relish it, but to imagine it, that it would happen, is a true joy to me in my heart. The scripture said that the earth will rest. Well, saints, how can we dare to sleep in these times and these days that we have before us? We don't have to wait in the scriptures to read in Matthew or Revelation about this. It's right there in Genesis, the first book. I think God knew it was important to get that out there and to let us see that and to read that and to be able to inspire us to keep reading and praying about those things. In a church much like this, on one Sunday, a teacher asked her children before they were dismissed to go into the church service from Sunday school to be quiet, when they enter the church and during the service. And one of the little children said, "Why?" And the teacher said, "What do you think?" And a hand went up, and a little girl said, not one of my granddaughters, a little girl said, "To keep from waking up those people that are sleeping." You know, I looked at that and I thought it was kind of cute, but then, you know, some of those sleepers are devout believers. And some of those people that are all wide-eyed and alert are not quite there yet. And so we cannot judge that situation, and we dare not. And the truth came forward as we're talking a little bit today about this thing we call Veterans Day and why we do this. In World War II, when the Japanese had attacked Pearl Harbor, the admiral of the fleet from Japan, Yamamoto, said, when asked about it, he said, "Today the victory is ours, but I fear we have awakened a sleeping giant." And indeed, he had, and he knew that. We are a nation that has few days in the decades that we've been a nation, few decades, if maybe only one, where we have not been in conflict with someone, somewhere. And we've had people who have served us in wars, men and women of all ages, but mostly the young. They serve because their country called them. And they serve their nation because they felt it was the right thing to do. They fought and they died. So why have we fought? We have fought against many different nations for various reasons, and mostly for causes that were not just ours. And we even fought against ourselves in the Civil War. And I always think about that, of those dates of the Civil War, and thinking that Latter-day Saints were probably shooting at Latter-day Saints and didn't know it. And my heart is troubled always by those types of realities and those conflicts that the Lord lets happen to us, and we don't always understand that plan, but there is always a plan. And this nation has held together through all of those things. And a veteran is a person recognized by Congress of the United States who has served in the military during a wartime period for at least one day. That's all. One day. And then eventually being honorably discharged. They are considered a veteran. What about Memorial Day? We remember those who fought for our country against all odds. They held their position. And the orders that came to them often was, hold until relieved. Hold until relieved. Help is coming. Some died in those battles. Some were wounded and died of their wounds later. And some of them died of old age. We still have World War II veterans. You'd be surprised at that number. But we're losing them at the rate of about 7,000 a month just because of age. And those numbers will drop that reality of that larger number we have now rather quickly. Well, of course, Memorial Day was originally Decoration Day, and then in 1968 it became Memorial Day. And it was to highlight the millions who have given their service to their country and those who paid the ultimate price is the ones that we honor the most and those that have gone on. All those World War II veterans that are still out there, honor and reverence those that they served with. For those of us, and I hope that there may be others in this room that would fall in this category, but the terrible things that they saw and terrible things that they had to be a part of. And they honor those who did not make it through those situations. In 1 Nephi chapter 1, it says, "The Lord gives us commandments, and He gives us a way to accomplish each." Now, when I was in the military, I did my basic training at a place called Fort Knox. And during that period that I was there, they were just finishing filming the movie Goldfinger, which was shot at Fort Knox for the most part. And it showed the military troops there, and it was quite a basic training center for the Army. And I remember one sergeant that I had, and he would come up behind you and yell, "Jump!" And if we didn't jump, he'd get mad. So then when we saw this happening, we would jump, and then he would yell at us again because I didn't say how high. So we never could get it right. And one day he had all 150 of the company lined out, and the officers in charge let him have the company. And he said, "I want to know how many men in this group have musical talent." And of course the thought went through our minds immediately. This is a way to get out of duty. We're probably going to be asked to be in a choir or a band or something, you know, something like that. So hands went up. And he, I'll take you, and you. That afternoon, those four men returned to the company, and they didn't look very happy. Because what had happened was that they were put into a jeep and taken over to where the officers' quarters were. And from one of the highest ranking officers at Fort Knox, they moved a piano from the first floor to the second floor of one of the general's houses. So needless to say, when the sergeant would come out and ask for volunteers after that, it didn't work very well. And when we saw these men, of course, they were the four biggest, pretty much the biggest guys we had, and we never thought about that at the time. So strange things happen sometimes when we think we know what's being said or what might be happening. And if our Lord and Savior needs servants every day, which He does, we need to be soldiers for Christ and His church and follow orders without griping about them or not trying to change them in any way so that it suits us. As soldiers of Christ, we report to work every day. The moment we wake in the morning, we are reporting for work with our Savior. Because we love being in service to the Lord, don't we? Every time we do something good, doesn't it make us feel good? Don't we really like doing that? And we simply ask, "Lord, every day, can I do something for You today?" And I can promise you with all sincerity that if that's a request coming from your heart, something's going to come to you that day. I promise you. If you're asked with your heart, but if there's any hesitation in there, it may not happen. But if you're sincere about it, it'll happen. I promise you. For at least part of this weekend that we have before us, we should remember those who made the supreme sacrifice for our nation. This is a land, a very special land, because our church was founded here. And it was restored here. And Zion is here, very special place. And we are protected and preserved by the veterans who've served in the wars. A choice land, a promised land. This place where we live is a wonderful place. The soldiers received their orders in these battles that they faced, and they went places they didn't want to go, and they did things that they didn't want to do. But they did them. And when we talk about our wonderful colors there, there is no greater example than comes from our internal battle we call the Civil War. Because it's quite amazing that in the southern states they had their own flag. They called it the Stars and Bars. And they rallied behind that. And in the northern states, the Union, they had the American flag, which, rather unusual fact about it is that it had stars representing every one of the southern states. They were all represented on that flag, every star, every state. And when they went into battle, they didn't figure this out until the war was over, but it didn't matter because that wasn't what it was all about. But leading each of the units was their unit colors, what state they were from, what unit they were called, and the flag of either the South or the North. And that's exactly where the cannons always aimed. And that's exactly where the first shots were aimed. And the bravest people on that battlefield were the boys, and they were always young boys. They were always in behind the lines. And whenever that flag went down, one of them ran forward and grabbed the flag and started moving with it again. They did not want that flag to be on the ground. And when you talk about heroism, when you talk about dedication to what you're doing, these young men, most of them teenagers, and some of them quite young, they were doing a service for their beliefs to the nth degree. And when I first read that and I saw that, it had an impact on me because I hadn't really thought about that. And when I was in the service, I've talked about this with you somewhat, but my station point was in Arlington National Cemetery. And on one of my days off, I was in the cemetery early in the morning walking on the roads that are there. And the view is just gorgeous. It was right around Veterans Day. And I was pretty much by myself walking, and I walked into this one area where there were some hills on each side and around, and I was in kind of like a valley where I could see way out both directions, and all you could see, of course, were the white headstones. And I stopped right there, and I had one of the most emotional experiences of my life because I realized there I was with maybe 10,000 stones being able to see me if they could, and I could see them. And they were men and women who died so I could be at that spot at that moment, and to have that impact made upon my life. And every time I read the passage in the scriptures or anywhere in any writing where it talks about the valley of the shadow of death, that's what comes to my mind. And as I looked at those stones, you'd see privates next to generals. No difference. The stones were identical. Only what was written on the stone was different. And this last couple of days, they've been putting flags on all those stones. And I did that one time. And it's a precise thing to do. It's always very precise when you're dealing with the veterans and honoring them. And we had 300,000 flags to place. And if you divide that up, even 100 per person, you're going to have a lot of people in the cemetery putting flags out. And they always showed the military, but there were Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts and church groups and all kinds of volunteers that came to the cemetery to be a part of that. And when you stood back and looked at it, it's an amazing sight. It's an amazing thing to see. If there's any patriotism anywhere tucked away inside of your heart someplace, it'll come out. Because when you see that, it explodes within you. Well, as soldiers of the cross, we have to ask ourselves, is there a war going on now for your immortal soul? Is there an enemy? Can their weapons destroy us? Might we be asked to go and do things in these latter days that maybe we don't want to do, places that we don't want to go? Old Glory is a wonderful symbol for our nation. Its stars and stripes tell us who we are and that we are one nation under God and indivisible. Our military veterans stood in the trenches of the world, ready to move when they were asked to do so, willing to fight the adversary wherever they found him, to save as many lives as they could, and to honor the lives of those who have served before them. Consider just for a moment, have we any veterans in the church? Veterans of the church. Think about that for a second with me. They won't have any medals, they won't have any uniforms. Sometimes they've been wounded, sometimes more than once. And we call them, I call them, the veterans that we have. And we have them because we're under attack by the adversary, and we are at war. But we have to hold our position, hold, until relief comes, because it's coming. Let's compare and put the two together for a moment, military veterans and church veterans, and see how wonderful the comparison is and how similar it is. They both have a belief system. There are strict rules to be followed. There are manuals of instructions, if you will, as to how things must be done. There is a chain of command. There are certain commands that we must not break. We must respond to the call for action. There are veterans from the past that we honor. When asked to do so, did they hold their ground? Have the wounded been cared for? Have any been lost? And those that have been lost, have they been found? If asked to do so, can we hold this position until relief comes? Never lose hope. Never give up. Stay alert. Stay sharp. Hold fast. We need veterans in the church because the fight goes on. And without us, another may be lost. This past week, I was part of the young adult reunion. Not reunion, but rally, I guess you would call it, for a week that they had out at the campgrounds. And sometimes when we talk from the pulpit or you just talk in casual conversation, there might be one little thing that you say that doesn't mean anything to you and doesn't have any importance for you, really, and someone else picks up on it. And one girl did that right in the middle of the week, and she was very happy about what was said because it had relieved from her something that was troubling her for a long time. And when she brought it out, I thought, I remember saying that, but it's had an impact on her. It's just those little things sometimes that we say that have impacts, positive impacts, on other people. And the fight does go on that we have right now. The war must be won. Our Master, the one who created us, has placed us in this battlefield at this particular time, at this particular place, for a reason. We don't need to ask questions about that. We just need to follow orders without dissent and do so without fear. Fear is not of the Lord, but it is an important weapon of the adversary. Watch for it. Expect it. It's there. It will attack you at your greatest moment of weakness. The scriptures and history of the church has certainly revealed many leaders who were afraid, but they completed their mission. We could look at Jared, Nephi, Joseph Smith, Jr., certainly Emma Smith, and hopefully you and I. In Luke 12:35, it says, "Fear not, for it is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." You want to talk about an ultimate gift? He's willing to give it to us. just if we say to all the questions about the gospel and about our belief system and that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of the world and all those questions that come up, we just simply say, yes, we want all of that. We accept all of that. And if it's coming from the heart, God will bless us. In these difficult times, I think it's okay for us to be a little bit afraid, but not so much for ourselves, but for others. Because fear cancels hope. As the fear level rises, hope goes down. And if we can lower the fear level, hope goes back up again. Because we need hope. If there's anything we need in this world today and in the church today, it is hope. Just remember, saints, that God gave us this land. Gave us this land. A choice land, a land of promise. He gave you your freedom. And you are here now for a reason. There's no accident for this. It's because you believe in this gospel. And he's asked you to hold fast. This order comes to us from the highest possible level. In the book of Ether, God tells the brother of Jared where they are going to go. The nation that they will come to, their seed, will never be conquered as long as they believe in God. And a nation that will be declared the greatest nation in the world. I ask you this morning, what is the only nation that can claim that? Ronald Reagan once said, "No arsenal, no weapon of the world is so formidable as the will and the moral courage of free men and women." He also said that if we ever cease to be one nation under God, we will become one nation gone under. We know the names of America's heroes. We've got monuments to them everywhere. And we know the heroes of the church. We read their books. We ponder their testimonies. We study their guidance, and we treasure many soul-saving verses that we read. Like in the third book of Nephi in chapter 8. "For Satan desireth to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Pray in your families unto the Father, always in my name, that your families will be blessed. And behold, ye shall meet together oft, and ye shall not forbid anyone from coming unto you when you shall meet together. Forbid them not. Ye shall pray for them unto the Father in my name." In the restoration today, there are many veterans of the gospel. I am confident that as I speak to you this day, in this hour, that they are gathered, many of them in this room today. Brothers and sisters, all over this area, we have not yet come together as we should. And they are also trying, some others, to hold fast. And they are doing so with the desires of their hearts. But we have not yet come together as one. And the Lord is asking you not to be afraid. Not to be afraid of the days of tribulation. They will not defeat us. Hold fast. Relief is coming. Hold fast. The veterans of the gospel, both present and past, will fall upon the necks of each other in that glorious victory celebration. There is a beautiful hymn that Sherilyn was so kind enough to play today, and Lee had asked her to do that because it is my favorite. And it is the Battle Hymn of Republic. And one line out of there always strikes me quite emotionally, and that is that as he died to make men holy, to make us holy, let us die to make men free. Our God is marching on. What a challenge that is for us. Today, tomorrow, and forever, all we have to do is trust in Him, the Good Shepherd, our leader, and if you will, our commanding officer. He knows exactly what we need to do, and He simply wants you to put one foot in front of the other as His truth goes marching on. Hold fast, saints. Because relief is coming. I'm asking God to bless this restored church, this day specifically. I know that you ask for that in your prayers. I want to ask it before you. God bless this gospel that we have. It is so wonderful. Today, as is always, my prayer is that we thank you, veterans of this nation. We thank you, veterans of this church. Father in heaven, for these we honor today, let us never forget to remember. Amen.